And now, another eFed Journal entry with your host, TJ.
Hello, hello, hello. Sit down. Get ready for another episode of the eFed Journal. I am your host, TJ, the handler behind the Soul Philly TJ and William Alexander Andrews. Welcome in for a new edition, episode 23, hashtag EFJ23. My guest this week, Corey Casey, as you saw, IWF, Insurgency Wrestling, fame, also No Limit Wrestling Federation. It's a good one this week. It was funny because, you know, Corey has been hounding me to be on, asking when is his turn, when is his turn, when is his turn. And I was just trying to tell him, like, look, there's, you know, there's people ahead of you that have to go before you signed up. I'm fair to everybody. And his turn came up. I let him know, and he was ecstatic. And we talk a little bit about that. So, before we go any further with this episode, Peter, take it away.
Thank you, TJ. This week's journal entry is brought to you by
the FWA, the Future Wrestling Alliance. FWA is a fed that puts people in the main event because they can sell a feud or an angle, not because they can tell their life story. FWA is a fed that promises the best storylines and the most shocks. It is what wrestling should be. All it needs now is a roster who is up to the challenge with bi-weekly shows, 2 RPs per show. It's a lightweight workload for the easygoing wrestler. So check them out. Check out s13.zetaboards.com/FWA2013/index. That's s13.zetaboards.com/FWA2013/index. Future Wrestling Alliance, this week's sponsor. And now the interview with Corey Casey starts right about now. Watching any of the football?
Oh yeah, I'm a big Patriots fan. So obviously being from the Boston area.
Were you shitting your pants?
Oh my god, you have no idea, seriously. And it's even worse because I have Amendola and Brady on my fantasy team.
Oh, so you were...
Amendola goes down, I'm like, fuck!
Well, that's your own fault for picking up Amendola.
Oh, right? Knowing full well the guy's made of glass.
He's the most fragile player in the NFL in the last 20 years. Right. I can't think of... I'm a Philly guy, so I have Vic.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even get as hurt as often as Amendola.
This is true, and that's saying something considering Michael Vick's out every other week.
I know. I'm surprised he didn't get himself hurt on the way to D.C.
All right. Whatever, though. I'll be interested to see how he fits in with the Chip Kelly system.
Oh, I'm excited. I really am.
It's just because Chip Kelly's I graduated from UNH in New Hampshire. Okay. And Chip Kelly's actually graduated from there, too. So I've met him a couple times. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, I'm excited because it makes it a lot more simpler for a quarterback to play quarterback. His offense, at least. So hopefully it simplifies it enough for Vic to be like, oh, hey, this is how – oh, okay, this is what you do. You don't throw it to the – oh, the guys in green are my team.
The other wait a minute.
Makes sense. But, yeah, so I guess that's enough of non-e-fetting talk. of course, I'm TJ, my guest, Corey Casey. Corey.
How you doing?
Hello to everybody.
How's everybody doing tonight?
I don't know. I'm happy because you've been bugging me a lot for this.
It's true.
At least I got excited.
I got really excited when I heard Gordon Fury's interview a couple weeks ago. That and Flex Johnson and I are both we're good friends. He's another IWF guy, and you know, he's been saying, just basically blowing up your program, saying how this is just something you got to do. It's just an awesome time. So I figured I'd give it a shot.
Yeah, and it was just like there were so many people in front of you that I had to get them out of the way, but it's your time now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you shouldn't have to wait too long to hear yourself talk. I think it's now your episode. But, yeah, and it's one of those things, like, at first I was like, wow, this guy's really just annoying me. And I was like, wait a second. He's bugging me to be on. He wants to be on. Why am I taking it that way? It's the evolution of being a podcaster.
Right, especially, you know, you should take it almost flatteringly at this point. Yeah. People are just blowing you up wanting to be on the show.
That was – and see, what at first it was like an issue with people were like, oh, I want to be on because this person was on. It's like, all right, so do you know what you're – no, I just want to be on. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to be on. Like, no, you don't – that's not how it works. Like, you're on and you're on. Or, oh, I want to be on so I can talk about this. I don't know. It's like, hey –
yeah, this is
– it's not something like that.
No, absolutely not. Like I said, I want to be on because, like I said, I got a bunch of guys that in my Fed that were doing it, and as one of the co-founders of IWF, I figured this is just good publicity for us. It just seems like a good time, you know?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to get it started right away with the Corey Casey character.
Sounds good.
Where did that character come from?
It's actually a story, a lot of life anger issues. You can ask anybody who's ever chatted with me in the IWF chat box, and they'll tell you that basically I have a lot of anger issues, and it was just kind of a way for me to vent. Mm-hmm. The character of Corey Casey is just something that I've got a lot of shit in my past and a lot of shit that's bothered me, and so it's just I eventually took it, and originally when I basically made Corey Casey, my pick base was Raven, like the wrestler Raven, and for some reason it just kind of fit. You know, just all that dark. It was very psychological, very like schizophrenic, paranoia type of stuff.
Okay.
And a lot of my best RPs I've actually ever written were partially what I've been told. They're like written from the viewpoint of Corey Casey as his mind is breaking in his schizophrenia and he's in an asylum, ironically enough. So it was just kind of as like a vent for me for all my anger issues.
And that's where a lot of characters are created, either anger issues, depression issues, or just, you have the good, like, oh, I was a wrestling fan, so I got into this, or a couple of the guys on this, I'm a backyard wrestler, and one of the guys was doing this. But, I always find that some of the best characters obviously are written by people who have, I don't want to, it's going to come off like I'm almost like, mocking them, but like just the problems in real life that force them to be on the internet more than
agreed.
Life. It's just like, because there's the opposite side, the people who don't really aren't online all that much are really great writers too. It's just, I just find, like, if you're trying to do an emotion, mm-hmm. if you're a great writer and you just have the time to sit there and you're like, oh, I'm going to go really deep into my character.
Oh, absolutely.
I love reading those characters.
Yeah, mine's like very, very deep. A lot of the stuff when I actually made Corey Casey is basically my sophomore year of college. I was going through a lot of shit. I was dating this girl that was out of her mind, and basically she almost basically cut me off from friends, family, all that stuff. So I basically had nobody else. So I kind of just took all that anger, all that issues that I had, and just kind of pumped it into that Corey Casey character, and just went on a roll.
Were you e-fetting prior to the Corey Casey character?
No, I've only ever really had one character. That was the Corey Casey character. I actually played a murderous clown for a while. That was you're laughing. I'm not laughing. Actually, I used Sweet Tooth from Twisted Metal as my pick base.
Solid.
But that was him for like maybe 2-3 weeks. And you can ask if anybody knows actually Tim Patrick. You can ask him all about the character Knife to Know You, and he'll it was a pun name, Knife to Know You. It was fantastic.
I mean, it's clever. It's clever, rather than just saying Bobo the murderous clown or something.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
Knife to Know You is a great thing. K2KU, just a fantastic character. The problem with that, though, is that a lot of it's one dimensional.
Oh yeah,
like you can only go so far as a murderous clown. Like, you write RP, it's like, okay, I am an angry clown. I like to kill things. Now what? Like,
and then you get to that point where, all right, hold on, logic's sort of getting in the way with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I always find it, like, people who write those kind of characters, like, the ones that blatantly break the law.
Yeah.
I can't, it's just my own bugaboo, and I know I share it with other people, and there's people who just disagree with me and those others to hell. Like, hey, that's creative freedom. You're telling someone, like, as far as it's a wrestling character, I don't really see a murdering clown. A murderous clown, maybe, something that, like, off camera. Yeah,
serial killing clown, though. I mean, that's probably not gonna happen too well.
Okay. You can get close to Doink, but
yeah.
You don't want to get close to Doink, but you don't want to get too far to like it, where it's just like that's not logical at all.
Essentially, like the way the Knife to Know You character actually like was, he ended up, I only created him because I was shooting this guy named Death Angel, and Death Angel is the one guy in Eddie Fed that we kind of allowed to break the logic. Because Death Angel had been e-fetting since you had to like write them by hand and like send them in through the snail mail. Like, I wish I were kidding right now. This guy's been around forever. Anyways, but he's the one character that the Fed head at the time would allow to like break the rules of logic. So his character was like 9 feet tall and 800 pounds. I mean, like, you've got to be kidding me, right?
Wait, how tall?
He literally, if you check his bio, he says that his character Death Angel is like 8 or 9 feet tall, weighs 900 pounds.
Jesus Christ!
And this is a guy that would do like flipping pile drivers as like one of his finishers. He had like 400 finishers. It's actually really, really funny.
This is the kind of guy that you see come into a Fed that he just comes into the Fed and he doesn't know anybody and nobody knows him, and they're like, dude, like your moveset's kind of off. What do you mean?
You're 900 pounds, man. Come on.
I'll take your 900 pounds, okay? You're morbidly obese. You're almost dead, okay? You're very tall. We'll let that slide. I can see somebody being 900 pounds. maybe 8 or 9 feet close, maybe. I don't know. But that person doing a Canadian pile driver and a 450 splash.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I don't know about
that. That's where we're drawing the line.
I'm drawing the line right there. But you haven't even seen me roleplay. Fine, we'll let you roleplay. He's on a cop, he's getting a car chase. Dude, like, no, that doesn't. Out. Sorry, no.
Yeah, and the best thing was, like, he'd have, like, these pretty good stories, and then you get to the shoot, and literally it'd be, like, just a shoot portion of his RP would just be, like, 4 pages, no periods, no punctuation at all. Several things misspelled over the course of this entire long sentence. It was fantastic. It's one giant sentence. Like, it was fantastic. But at the same time, like, you can't help but respect him. Because, like I said, the guy's been around for so long, and I got nothing but respect for Death Angel. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I know plenty of people like that. And for it to work, and then just the fact that they say, yeah, screw them. I'll go somewhere where they'll let me do this and won't try to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty, and those places are great. When I don't feel like having if I don't feel like having a logical character at all, and I just want to have something off the walls, I'll go there.
Yep.
and it's a great release because you're just like, man, I really wish I could do that for Corey Casey or TJ, but it doesn't make any sense because they're a real character. They're a down to earth character.
Exactly. Now you have to like I said, I used to run IWS. So we have to write shows, and now the problem with a 9 foot tall, 900 pound character is who the fuck's going to lift him up?
Exactly.
So now you've got to break the laws of physics for your top like three guys. I mean, Corey Casey, you look at his weight and his bio and stuff like that. I mean, he's essentially 20 pounds lighter than Brock Lesnar fighting a guy the size, of a small semi-automatic truck. So you're like, oh, great. Corey Casey weighs 250, 280 pounds, and now he's going to lift 900 pounds because that's what his finisher is that jackhammer, like Goldberg. I call it the purifier. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's just – it gets ridiculous, and eventually you got to start breaking rules, and logic gets involved, and it's just a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. it gets to the point where you're trying to suspend disbelief so much that you don't – you get to start suspending belief.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, yeah, this could totally work. What are you talking about? No. So, was the Corey Casey character – because we kind of went off track – And we start, but was Knife to Know You Corey Casey before he was Corey Casey?
No, what had happened was when I was in NLWF, which is No Limit Wrestling Federation, what had happened was I kind of adopted a second character. He was essentially, it was really stupid. I was fighting this guy, Shadow Demon, who was using the Joker pick base, and I knew that he had history with this guy before. It was somebody else's character. The guy had been long gone. So I kind of just absorbed the character like mid-run as Corey Casey, and I would roleplay as both. So, like, I'd fire out two or three, really, really just awful Knife to Know You RPs just to, like, interfere with matches and kind of be a dick because I knew that Shadow Demon was feuding with me at the time. Mm-hmm. So I figured if I could kind of throw him off because he didn't know that I was Knife to Know You, maybe that would kind of give me a little bit of an advantage. And I ended up talking to Shadow Demon, and he and I are, we're good now, but it's just kind of funny.
So before No Limit Wrestling, you were Corey Casey and New Age Wrestling, which – you wrote is an email fed, which I'm fascinated by.
In Yahoo.
Every person who says I was on an email fed, I'm fascinated by it because I keep repeating myself, but I just want it like it's the purest form of role playing. You don't know what somebody else is saying, so you have to write the best that you can write without any outside
yep.
Influencing.
It was really, like I said, just in its rawest form. It was a great place to start. There are two guys that I especially promised I'd shout out just because. Jason Hawk and Ryan Apollos. These are two guys that I debuted within a week of. That was 5.5 years ago. And to this day, these guys have been in every Fed I've ever been in. I've gotten to know them both in character and out. Just two great guys. But like I said, it's the way that it worked was like you emailed your opponent plus the Fed head. Mm-hmm. And like he kind of sent it out to everybody. So everybody got to read and like got emails from everybody else. And like in the subject line, you wrote like Corey Casey versus like Dark Lord or like Death Angel or something like that. And you just sent it out and everybody just kind of kept getting all these emails. So I actually had to establish my own like, you know, Yahoo email address just to handle all the incoming like RPs. Mm-hmm. It was absurd.
I just heard the ones where it's you just send it to somebody else and then they just send the show out to everybody.
Yep.
Nobody ever actually sees, unless they say, hey, can I see your roleplay you beat me with or that you lost to me?
Yeah. It was kind of absurd also, just like, also, depending upon, like, if you had, like, a stable, because now if you have a stable, it's like, oh, God, now I have to read 40 other RPs that you're going to have, like, 60 new inboxes for your email. Yeah. It just gets absurd.
Yeah, I can just imagine, you know, deadlines on Monday. Yep. Especially if it was deadline bombing. Oh, my God. Like, Monday night is deadline. You wake up Tuesday morning. Especially, yep. And if that was now with smartphones, that you would get, like, you know, an alert every time you have an email.
That thing would be blowing up nonstop.
Oh, my God. You would never. It's like, oh, my God, just stop it. I'm fine. I don't need to see it.
Oh,
I'm
right.
I'm not facing you.
Especially because, like, my alert tone for my phone is, like, the Ric Flair, woo! So, like, it would be just nonstop, woo, woo, woo!
Sound like a
damn amp. Yeah, seriously. Between, you know, Kurt Angle and Ric Flair, I'm going to be here for the next 40 minutes.
Oh, man. So while in New Age, it's back in 2007.
Yep.
You won the New Age Wrestling Intercontinental Championship.
Yes, sir.
You went on to hold it for the longest reign in the history of that Fed.
That'd be correct.
Now, how long was that?
It's more or less a year. Kind of sort of, it depends because New Age actually ended up closing and I ended up just kind of leaving them. And then I'd ended up talking to Ryan Apollos, who actually was informing me that he was going to try to start his own Fed. Mm-hmm. That lasted for maybe, I want to say a month before the whole thing just went to hell. And we actually had a guy named Brenton Cyrus, who turns out he and I are mortal enemies now, both in character and out. And what had happened was Ryan Apollos started this championship, something or other, wrestling federation. I was there for a month. I mean, it didn't even really matter. Apollos said, you know, basically this guy PM'd me, you know, private messaged me saying, hey, you guys should all come here. And Brenton was known for doing that, just mass PMing feds. And so we were just like, look, we've got no other options. Might as well go check this out. And that's how I ended up with No Limits.
Okay.
And I mean, it was – No Limits is an interesting era for me, to say the least.
So before you go to No Limit, though,
yep.
I have it in that you were in New Age for a year, 2000, yeah. 2008, around there.
Yeah, it's like 2008 to basically 2011 when it closed down. We essentially, my buddy, before, that's like way at the end, though. So it's like my buddy Chuck Matthews, Brandon McDonald, and I essentially shut that place down ourselves, the three of us. Which was pretty sweet.
All right. Well, before we get to that, you also won the Extreme Championship in New Age.
Yep, that was like the bottom rung. Like, welcome to New Age Wrestling Federation. I mean, that was essentially just a chance for you to kind of get your foot in the door. It's like the hardcore title almost.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
So, before we go on to No Limit and
yep.
look New Age in the mm-hmm. rearview mirror. What stands out to you as far as you're going from New Age, it's a Yahoo email fed, to I'm guessing No Limit was a forum?
Yeah, it's on the forum motion.
Okay, so you're going from a Yahoo fed. Wow, 2007, so that's not that long ago. It's been a long weekend. My brain cells are not working.
Believe me, you're preaching to the choir. I got pretty buzzed last night, so we're good.
Wow, it's not that long ago.
Nope.
I could have been in there.
Who was your character?
No, I wasn't in there. I could have been in there is what I'm saying. If I only knew about it. So what was the transition like for you?
It was really – it was different because I'm used to writing just kind of – the way Corey Casey started was he was a guy from South Boston. I'm from the area. Like, I knew a lot about Boston, and I was dating a girl who lived in Boston at the time. And so I knew a lot of the landmarks. I essentially was trying to make it kind of like a – he had a dark past. His dad was an alcoholic. He ended up killing his dad and living on the streets kind of as like a – you know, kind of like a dark, almost psychotic character – living on the streets, essentially saying that he was Boston, and he actually went by the nickname the Celtic Hand Grenade, which was pretty cool. Yeah. And so it was just different to go from the actual emailing of RPs to putting them on a forum. And I actually got to see some of the best RPs I've actually ever read, you know, within a few weeks of being in No Limits. It was like a brand new ballpark, you know. You walk in there and you see in these massive RPs and these guys just busting out these incredible stories, and you're just like, wow. My little email rinky-dink feds are not gonna. It's not gonna cut it here.
It's a culture shock.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I was in feds where they were angle feds. There were the unofficial angle feds where it was like, yeah, it's a RP fed, but we're going to have the final say if it fits the angle,
yeah,
storyline. So going from one of those to an actual role-playing fed. It was pretty much of a shock because it's like, wow, that person actually won. They're good. Or like, wow, I actually beat them because my thing was better, not because. It gets to a point where you're self-aware of what is good.
Yeah, it actually like, really opened my eyes to see this is good. This is what's going to cut it here versus my. I mean, I've always been able, like I said, I got a lot of anger issues and my shoots were always awesome. The problem is that my stories were not that great because I didn't have to evolve my character any, mm-hmm. You know, because you're in an email fed. It's like, what's the point, you know, especially the way New Age was run. I got a lot of criticisms about that just because there was so much favoritism between the top like five guys. I don't know if they are friends out of character or whatever, but I knew that basically the top three guys, it was a guy named Double A, his wife, and his name was MVP. The guy was just all three of them. If you fought them, there was no way, no matter how much you tried, you were going to beat them unless Double A said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to beat me, but it's not going to be clean. It just really sucked.
Yeah. We covered that in the special episode, 20th episode, the whole egos, yep, and everything.
Yep.
And I just, we didn't really cover that where the person's like, yeah, you can beat me, but I don't want my character being looking weak, so we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You're still going to get the win, so you'll get the title shot, but you won't beat me. It's like,
what's the point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And at that time, for me at least, because, I mean, that's 2008, I'm still only a year or two in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just one of the things, like, you don't know any better, and then looking back on it, you're just like, damn, like, that guy was an asshole.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what it was. You know, a lot of it's just you walk in there and you have no idea what to expect. You're still young. You still, like I said, I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have told me there this, that, and the other thing was wrong with my RPs. So I'd have been like, oh, okay, maybe if I fix them next time, it'll work. And I didn't know any better before I actually figured it out. I made friends with a guy named Dark Lord, who, by the way, I would love to know where that guy went. So if he's listening, come find me because I'd love to know where you went. This is the guy who basically opened my eyes and was like, look, this is how this thing is really run. If you're going to do this, stick with me. I'll try and help you out. And this is the guy who kind of guided me through the bullshit, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So I got nothing but – I'd like to say thank you to him if he's listening.
So we've got Dark Angel, Dark Lord.
It's Death Angel.
Death Angel, Dark Lord.
Nice to know you.
Nice to know you. What was the other clown one? The Joker.
The Shadow Demon.
Shadow Demon. You got a lot of.
Yeah. Like I said, it's actually funny because once we get to No Limit, Corey Casey was the Lord of a Cult, which was actually pretty cool. Well, yeah. Did I not warn you?
No, you didn't. Not enough, apparently.
Yeah, right.
But before we get that, I want to talk about Corey Casey in his infancy as as the Celtic Hand Grenade. And he's.
Yep.
Because my character is the Soul Philly TJ.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the complete opposite of your character.
Yeah.
Whereas your character is like highlights the bad about it.
Yeah, like the evil, like, oh, this wicked, all
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah. And my character is like, look, you know, there's all this bad shit, but there's plenty more good shit going on. And like I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure. How was it? Like, you did say you yourself have anger problems.
Mm-hmm.
But writing a character like that, while it is a release of some of that anger, did you ever get too much into the character?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my junior year of college, when I was, you know, eventually starting to get into No Limits, you know, I wasn't really trying too hard. I was still kind of sucked or whatever. It really got to my senior year when I moved in with a bunch of people that I thought were my friends. I still talk to a few of them every now and then. There's this kid, though, that he and I, we lived together, and we could not have been two polar opposites. Mm-hmm. So whenever I would just write my Corey Casey RPs, I would just put my headphones in. I'd put on, like, death metal and just envision myself, like, just punching this kid as hard as in the face as many times as I could as I'm, like, writing this RP. Like, I want to hit this kid. I want to hit him. 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 And then it just would tool on my keyboard. Mm-hmm.
Poor keyboard. So you've had to replace a couple keyboards.
I'm up to three at this point.
See, I always fear that. Like, there's some people that take a character too seriously, and yeah. But it's not like my worry is like there will be one time where you'll just come onto a forum and you're just like, and everybody's like, kind of. There's people. There's one topic to. Oh my god, I can't believe this just happened. And you're just like, what the fuck? You click on it. It's like so-and-so, I got a text or something, or I got an email from this person, and their final roleplay, their character committed suicide, and then they committed suicide after. It's like, that has never happened. I don't want it to happen. Oh, and if somebody has had that happen, I am sorry for you, because I could not, I don't even want to wish that on any people I really hate.
Oh, agreed.
Just because you're like, it's a game. At the end of it. It is a game, and I hate when people get so into a character. Like, if you base a character off yourself, fine. But, like, I can't write a character who's dark and demented. Yeah, I've tried, but it's like, I'm not that person. I can't.
That's where it got to be pretty bad, because once I got to No Limits, they had it was in character all the time. So the problem is like, I'm used to having, like, an email fed and not really chatting with anybody on a chat box, because that's what Forum Motion has, is they have chat boxes, so you can actually get to know these people. The problem is that the Fed head at the time, like I said, a guy named Brenton Cyrus, he had another character. You'll hear me call him Nick or Nick Ridicule. If anybody's ever heard of him, you guys know how I feel. Nick and I, essentially, we hate each other. I mean, from day one, Nick saw me as a threat. And more or less, if it weren't for Chuck Matthews, who I owe so much, I mean, that guy, I owe him basically my career. Basically, what had happened was in NLWF, you were a character all the time. So you're on the chat box, you're in character. Meanwhile, your friends are talking to you out of character. So now you're trying to, like, talk to them in real life. You've got this in-character chat box. And while it was great for, like, RPs and, like, storyline ideas, it really fucked with my head, to be honest with you, because essentially it's just, like, the lines get blurry. You know, where does in-character end and out-of-character begin? And it just – there's a while there that I couldn't tell. And there was an incident where I actually freaked out on Chuck, because he had this character, Ashley Matthews, who was Chuck's daughter.
Okay.
And she was dating Nick Ridicule at the time. And for every RP that Nick would write, Ashley would write one too. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there was supposed to be this big match between Nick and I, and Ashley was supposed to stay out. And at the last minute, she posted at deadline this huge RP, ended up costing me the match. So I just freaked out and just wrote this awful, I mean, just terrible RP, just ripping the Ashley character to shreds. I posted that gif of Snooki getting popped in the face. You know what I'm talking about, from Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
I posted that, like, 12 times. Was tirade. And, like, after I posted it, I'm in the chat box, and everyone just – it was like a lightning bolt. Everyone came out of character. I was like, dude, you're fucked up. Like, it was like, this is, like, out of character now. Like, you've got some issues if you're posting this. And, like, I'm reading this RP after I had written it. I'm like, what? Where did this come from? You know, I've got to straighten myself out here, man, because I don't know what's going on anymore. So, I mean, that was just a huge, huge wake-up call for me to, like, figure out, okay, this has gone too far. I got to do something to redeem Corey Casey, because if not, I'm going to go crazy.
So, you're in No Limit, and we already covered the culture shock of going from a Fed where there's no out-of-character.
There's no anything. Like I said, it's email.
it's just the role plays, and you're getting results emailed to you. To a Fed where there's... Well, there's everything. There's, you know, there's a forum. Yep. There's a sort of out of character environment that you can actually talk to the people.
Yep.
Most people are in character though. Mm-hmm. But before you, we're gonna go up to the point where you had this meltdown of sorts.
Yep.
What were? Because you have the The accomplishments I have, you have the Undisputed Championship, you're the second ever Triple Crown winner.
Yes, sir. Won it at every major title they had. They had like three major titles. There was the Undisputed, there was the No Limit, and then the NLWF World Heavyweight. And it was just kind of like a tri-title system.
Okay. Did you win any of them before this meltdown?
I actually was the Undisputed Champion, I think, twice over before this meltdown.
Okay. So was that a worry? When I mean, it's one of those things where you're doing – we covered it. You said you have to make a change. You got to make amends for it because something's not right here.
Yeah.
As far as your mentality with everything. But there's also the competitive part where it's like I need to change, but am I going to be good? Am I going to
– And it was great because – what had happened was when I joined NLWF, Brenton saw my, you know, Nick saw my character pick base was Raven. And so he actually was running, like I said, a cult, which was Salvation. The idea was, the storyline was that Brenton was this god that had come to Earth. And like, he had this idea where his character was God and everybody else was kind of his followers. It was kind of like when JBL ran the cabinet in WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he was the president and everybody else was like underneath him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like I said, Corey Casey being a mentally almost a very mentally weak character was all about this cult, all about following Brenton, all about making sure that Brenton won the title, kept the title, praised Salvation. I actually took the Our Father prayer from like the Roman, like I'm a good Roman Catholic Irish boy. And I took the Our Father prayer and rewrote the entire prayer to be about Salvation and Brenton.
Sheesh.
Yeah, dude, it was dark, man. It was like I said, it was a cult. So like I kind of played my role well, and it actually helped me a lot being with Brenton for as long as I was, because he kind of helped me out with my dark character, kind of forged me to be this psychotic character. But at the same time, like I said, later on, he becomes just my absolute worst enemy. It gets bad.
So, you know, you're very successful with the character the way it is.
Yep.
You're doing the cult thing, which that's if anybody's listening to this and they're trying to do a religious zealot type character,
exactly what Corey Casey was.
Like I've seen them try to pull that off, and they're like, oh, you know, this, that, and that, and it's just like you're not like there's something always missing from it. And maybe taking a Bible verse or so and twisting it and contorting it to fit what you're doing is probably what you need to do.
It actually gets funny because I actually literally Chuck Matthews was actually one of the founding members of Salvation at the time, and he had actually left Salvation. But he PM'd me this idea that he had. Chuck had actually like gone through and written, like rewritten what he called his Gospels according to Matthews. Like Chuck Matthews was his last name. Matthews was his last name. So he wrote like a Gospel of Salvation according to Matthews, which had like him kind of like almost killing Salvation, you know, getting into this big feud with Brenton. So what I did was I went through and I rewrote sort of what he was writing almost, but with like my own personal spin. I wrote it literally. It was the Gospels of the Prophet, because that's what Brenton called me. I was the Prophet Corey Casey at this point.
Okay.
Kind of like the second coming of Brenton, how I was eventually going to take over this, that, and the other thing. And I wrote actually my own Gospels, which was pretty cool.
Okay.
I wish I could link you to all these RPs, but Brenton actually threw a hissy fit like a couple months back and actually shut down NLWF for good. Not that I could access it anyways, because I was banned or killed it.
Yeah, I always love that. It's like, oh, I really wish I could show you this stuff, but this fed closed, or this fed's no longer around. Somebody took it down. And I always get pissed. I'm just like you can go and find it. But it's very hard to go and find it.
And, like, I make a lot of tweaks, too, on my RPs. Like, when I'm posting them, I'll, like, change a few words here. I'll code it there. And I've got all my, like, original copies on, like, a hard drive, like a removable hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I didn't want to bog you down. Like, you got stuff going on, you know. You know, let's be honest. This interview would be good, but, like, we're not – you know, you're not Tom Brokaw. And I'm not Barack Obama.
Whoa. I am Tom Brokaw. Right? I am.
I knew I recognized that voice.
I am Efetting Walter Cronkite.
Love it. Love everything about it.
So you make
Does that make me Nixon? Does that make you Frost? I mean, is that how this works? Or because I can go Haru if you want me to.
I'm gonna stay as Cronkite. Walter Cronkite. That's the way to cook it. Anyway, so you make the change of your character to kind of clear up your own.
My mind.
Life. Your, really. Mind.
I,
your mind.
I left Salvation after Brenton kind of left Salvation. I was leading Salvation for a while. The storyline was that when he died, he had like one of this character. Now I say died with air quotes. He had this wife, and like she and Corey were kind of, you know, romantically involved, ended up marrying her in character according to Salvation. Like, just like we had like a random Salvation priest do it, and I was the Lord at this point. So it's the Lord Corey Casey. And that's kind of like where I really developed the schizophrenia idea, which was actually really awesome. The Lord Corey Casey eventually becomes kind of this like evil version of himself. Like, you know how people eventually they see like an angel on one shoulder, a demon on the other.
Yeah.
And you've got, everybody's got that like bad voice in their head that tells them to do bad things. When I eventually write my Asylum RPs, Corey Casey, like the Lord becomes that like devil that's constantly whispering in Corey's ear versus like, you know, the angel, which becomes like a 10-year-old version of Corey, which is like, you know, back before he started killing people and like just being crazy.
Okay.
So I guess he's pretty cool.
Yeah. Different so then take I, on it.
Yeah, then I have this mental break and eventually decide to draw the line in the sand, kind of leave Salvation alone, and get into this huge feud with Nick and Brenton, basically.
So you, the kid, so after the character change,
yep,
the entire mentality change.
Yep, I switched my pick base from Raven to a short-haired Chris Jericho, which has actually become more or less my base from that point forward, which is pretty cool. Okay.
So you go from one extreme to another. You go from one grungy-looking guy to, well,
kind of cleaned up.
Jericho, yeah, I can't see. It's just I just have to describe it as Jericho. Just
yeah,
as, but
with his short hair before, you know, not like lion tamer stats, but
yeah. So you did this piss off Brenton? And
yes, it did. Okay. Yes, it did, because a lot of Brenton and I, what had happened was during this time, like Chuck and I had this idea to form what was called Bad Company. Now the idea was that I had been spurned by Brenton slash Nick. Chuck was, you know, he's like a conniving character. His pick base is Edge. And I got to say, to be honest with you, you know how like sometimes there's those characters that always reflect exactly like who the person is almost? Edge is like that character for Chuck. And I know Chuck out of character. He and I have grown to be really good friends out of character. And Chuck the person is really smart. I mean, he runs around Chicago doing like a Riddler of Chicago thing, which is pretty cool. But like the guy is real smart and he's real into riddles and has always got a plan. Whereas Edge, you know, whenever you watch him on WWE TV, he's always got a plan, you know? So the Bad Company was essentially designed to take down NLWF and like take down Nick, take down Brenton, just take down the whole system because we'd had enough. Meanwhile, out of character, Brenton was running NLWF by himself. I mean, this was the sole admin. If he didn't like your idea, you got screwed in the voting and you know, he did whatever you wanted with your character. If you no-showed twice, he killed your character. Like on TV, like randomly just killed him. So, I mean, like it just got to be enough. We were like, something's got to get done here. We got to do something about this.
Okay. So take me along because this is, I'm guessing, where accomplishment, the third one that you sent was shutting down No Limit Wrestling Federation with Chuck and Brandon McDonald.
Yep. Essentially, like I said, what had happened was, I was slated to fight Chris Matthews for a title. Chuck, I think, was fighting Nick and Brandon. What had happened was Nick tried forming this idea called Fight the World. Essentially, what had happened was Bad Company was supposed to take over NLWF. Nick was supposed to say, okay, well, me and like a few other people are going to just go somewhere else with Brandon. That's where he introduced Brandon. Brandon actually debuted at this time. And essentially what happened was NLWF was supposed to run as like two separate shows. They're supposed to be Fight the World and No Limit. And essentially what's happened was Chuck was going to run No Limit and Nick was going to run Fight the World, but he would still be the only admin on the site. So Chuck didn't really have any sort of say in how everything was run. And then Nick would sometimes disappear for like months at a time, like weeks. First it was days, then it was weeks. And then essentially we lost him for 2 or 3 months. So there was a show that was supposed to get posted. It was after NLWF had actually had its Battle Behind Bars pay-per-view. And basically what had happened was Nick just kind of left and didn't come back. So there's supposed to be this big huge pay-per-view and then he was gone. Like we don't know what the hell happened to him. And when he came back, like as soon as he was gone for like a month, Chuck and I were like, all right, something's got to get done. Nick's gone, there's no show, you know, the show is a month late and people want to know what happened, and we've had enough of Nick. And I'll use the term ETA for those of you who don't know what it means. It's ego tripping asshole. So we'd had enough of this ETA doing his own thing, and so we decided we're going to form a new Fed. So Brandon had actually been banned at this time. He got big with Nick, and he actually came back. I sent him an email. He came back, and Chuck, Brandon, and I sent out a mass PM to everybody in the Fed saying, look, if you guys are sick of late shows, if you're sick of being shut down by Nick, if you're sick of him telling you what to do, if you're sick of being screwed in the voting, if you're sick of having your character killed, because some people, I mean, I was lucky. I was able to no-sell being killed on the show two or three times. Mm-hmm. Some people had had their characters killed three or four times and had to keep making new characters because according to NLWF lore, they were dead. So like people had had enough, and we essentially just went, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this Insurgency Wrestling Federation. And I mean, the term insurgency, that's like a rebellion. I mean, like that's just a straight up revolution. So for us to just kind of take everybody and just go make IWF, none of us knew what we were doing. Chuck had been around the longest, and he kind of had an idea as to what was going on, like how to make your own Fed. Mm-hmm. But like Brandon and I had no idea. And by this point, I had accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish in NLWF. I'd won every title. I'd done the storylines. I'd done the whole Salvation thing. I was feuding with Nick. I couldn't win. I got to say, one of the best moments of my career, though, literally, it was the most satisfying thing ever because there was no way for Nick to get out of this. He had to fight me, and he actually had a real-life commitment come out, like, outside of the Fed. But, like, he ended up no-showing because he did a bunch of drugs and got really high and just decided not to write. Meanwhile, I dropped two 20K RPs on him, just went to town. I mean, I wrote everything I had and more. And there was no way for him to do it. So literally, he had to write. It was the seven stages of hell, more or less. I mean, it was like, you know, seven matches. And it was best of 7-1. So Nick had to write four matches where he didn't lay a single hand on me. It was fantastic. I mean, I know it's just a game and everything, but like when you have an ETA Fedhead running stuff like that, for him to have to sit there and write four matches where his character just gets fucked up. Oh, it was the best feeling in the world.
So this brings up a discussion I always want to have with people, but it never comes up, and I never want to like bring it up.
Yeah, go right ahead.
It came up naturally with the whole you dropped two 20,000 word role plays on them.
It might have been 15. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Either way, that's still a lot.
Yep.
Now, are you the kind of guy that even if it's good, if there is a such thing as too long, even if it's good, or do you believe if it's good, it's good?
NLWF and even IWF had this theory where it's not quantity that matters, it's quality. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys that you can write a 500 word RP, but if you've sold me on how good this RP actually is and have bought me, you know, got me to buy into your character, it doesn't matter how long the RP is. I mean, it really doesn't. The only reason I dropped those two 15,000 word RPs was because I was just pissed. I mean, like, this was my outlet. This was my chance to really just stick it to Nick and Brendan, just kind of really get his, you know, just fuck his day up in the worst possible way. Because Nick hated losing. I mean, the guy would freak out. He would do anything he could to screw over anybody to make sure he didn't lose. You know, he's kind of like the Super Cena. Just kind of do whatever he needs to do to make sure that he won. And just, I wanted to make sure that I beat the snot out of him.
Okay. Well, no, because the one discussion I always find myself having with somebody, especially if I'm asked to help judge matches, it's somebody writes a 7,000 word roleplay. And yeah, it's mm-hmm. probably better than the other person, but they said just as much as you in less, so they're going to get the win. Because
that's good for them, though. I mean, like, if you're going to write a short RP, I mean, like, if you could say as much as I can, and, you know, like I said, that was what? 25,000 words? Yeah. I mean, if you can do, or in 30, no, it's 30. If you can do that in 200 words, you know, two 200 word RPs, I'm in. I mean, I'm sold. You know, like I said, it's quality over quantity.
Yeah. Well, see, that exactly. But somebody will say, well, mine's just as good as theirs. Well, that's because you wasted so much of my time when they got right to the chase. It's like the people who, they'll have a shoot that's about 3,000 words, but they'll have description that's 2,500 words.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that show me where, don't tell me everything. Let me figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Show your character interacting with, let's say, an ex-girlfriend or your parents or like where you grew up.
Telling me everything.
Exactly. Because sometimes, you know, this is all a game, like you said, you know, and this is just a big thing where we don't need to know everything because these people aren't real. The story isn't real. I mean, I appreciate a good descriptive writer, but like, come on, we got shit to do here.
Yeah, I was my the thing that I always come back to when giving people this advice is, don't tell me that they're sad for a reason. Show me it. You know, he looks into the window. He looks in the window like right after talking about something. Yeah. Like he just looks in there, gazes there, looking out into space for no reason. Like that's something that if somebody sees somebody doing that, hey, something wrong? Nah, I'm good. Like what?
And that was the great thing about being Corin Casey, because like I said, he was schizophrenic, so he had like the good angel and the bad angel, and he would talk to them. He would talk to his hallucinations saying, should I do this, should I do that? And they would both kind of give him the pros and cons, and like evil Corey, like the Lord, would try and constantly be tricking Corin Casey to do bad shit, which was awesome because it gave you kind of an insight into Corin Casey's mind, kind of how it was working, what he was seeing, kind of why he did what he did. And, you know, the Lord actually just turned into this great character to hate. I mean, this guy was fantastic. I mean, even after I hit towards the end, and it was me. So, like, it was really great. Just an awesome, awesome experience, kind of in that retrospect, because it gave me a chance to kind of show my good and my bad, mm-hmm. and why the character reacted the way he did. Like you said, show me, not tell me. And this is why.
Okay. So, back to the story of Corey Casey.
Yep.
Chuck Matthews and Brandon McDonald basically say, look, enough is enough of this place. You know, we're all in limbo, no, basically.
Yeah.
Not trying to figure out what's going on. We got to do something. And you guys decide to open up your own Fed.
Yeah.
Now, you said you had no idea what you were doing.
Oh, none of us really did. Brandon was really good with code. Chuck and I were really good story guys. Chuck also has the advantage of being an English major in real life. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's got a lot of that classical literature kind of English know-how. I was pretty good with storylines, kind of, because I had a lot of shit going on with a lot of people in NLWF and, like, in character, obviously. So it was a lot of very easy for me to, like, kind of get storylines going. I've also been kind of – I like reading. I mean, all of us kind of have to in this game, you know. So I like reading, and so I read a lot of RPs and just kind of got random ideas for people. And so that's just kind of how it started. Brandon kind of handled our graphics along with Chuck. We eventually got this guy, Eric Voss, to come on after doing some recruiting on, I don't know if you know Rough Cut or not, but we did a lot of recruiting over there. We actually got into a huge pissing contest with a few people over there, but that's a whole nother story. But no, I mean, so we just kind of started doing our own thing. We copied a lot of the way Nick wrote shows, the format, the graphics, the designs, trying to figure out how we were going to do this. And we just went back to what we knew, you know, the way shows were written, the way segments were written. And we kind of just started taking all the old characters. When we left NLWF, everyone followed us. I mean, every last, the good and the bad, you know. And it was awesome because it was all people we had worked with before. And they knew us and they trusted us. And we trusted them to kind of do their job, you know. So it was awesome. You know, it started out kind of, like I said, as its own rebellion, its own insurgency.
So when you had decided, like, that you were doing this and you were not talking to Chuck and Brandon, what was going through your mind?
Shit. I mean, this is really happening, you know. Like, we had been followers for so long. We had taken Nick's abuse for so long. I mean, this is a guy, when I fought in NLWF, I never had a week off for three, four years. I didn't have a week off, ever. And I mean, like, I went on cruises and had to, like, try and dish out shitty little RPs, like, when I could get them out before I left. Before, so that way he wouldn't kill my character. So that way I would come back and have, like, Corey Casey be crucified. Which happened quite often. Like, you're laughing. Like, seriously, this happened quite a few times. Like, I've actually had Corey Casey crucify 3 to 4 people, like, live on, like, NLWF TV.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Like I said, this was hardcore. I mean, like, my character was known for whipping people with a razor blade-tipped cat of nine tails. Yeah, it got heavy. I mean, like, this was one of those, like, if ECW took steroids, like, this would be – the NLWF would be, like, the equivalent of that. So, yeah, it was essentially PTSD. I mean, all of us had, like, sort of that combined with, like, what am I looking for here? That when the kidnapped victims start to identify with their captors, you know what I'm talking about? Stockholm syndrome. There we go. I mean, that was essentially what we all had, like thinking NLWF was the best, but that was only because we didn't know any better, because for us to go anywhere else would mean death for our characters.
So you open up IWF, Insurgency Wrestling, and you guys, what did you guys put together for that first show? Like, what was like a couple of the things you wanted to do that first show to set the standard, I guess?
I mean, essentially what we wanted was just kind of being like, okay, well, we've got a bunch of these NLWF guys. We've got it all going on. But unfortunately, a lot of people at NLWF that came with us had been slapped down by Nick just time and time again. We, you know, our creative ideas didn't matter. If they clashed with Nick's idea, we didn't get a say. He's like, this is happening whether you want it to or not. And then you kind of had to deal with it. So essentially what happened was we took all the matches that were more or less supposed to happen at the last pay-per-view, the last NLWF pay-per-view, which never got posted because Nick went missing. And we basically took them and just kind of put them on the first card ever for Battlegrounds, which was IWF's week-to-week show.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at it, you know, I'm looking at it right now. We had Chris Matthews versus Brandon McDonald, which was an awesome match. That was actually supposed to headline the big pay-per-view that was coming up, along with he was actually supposed to be a triple threat versus Nick. But obviously we didn't invite Nick because, well, duh. So, I mean, so essentially we just kind of took all those matches and kind of did our own thing. We obviously had to make up a few jobbers. We created this group. I still think we should bring this back, by the way. We called them the Right Honorable Gentlemen. Like, one of us, we had a member who lived in England, and the guy was like, you know what we should do? We were like, what? He's like, well, we should actually just take a bunch of characters and make them talk in, like, super British voices and just like, make them British royalty. So, like, a bunch of us created secondary characters doing just that. I mean, my guy was Duke Reginald Churchfield Esquire III.
That's solid. It was a solid, stereotypical name.
Oh, when in it, though, we had Lord Blackwing. Oh, it's fantastic. It's actually funny because I actually just turned on the TV and I got Sherlock Holmes on. So, I mean, talk about fitting, right?
Right. So, see, I like that. I like when feds decide to open and they have some jobbers, because I always hate when you, as a fed, you put new members up against other new members.
Yep.
The worst thing I see is always when you see the new members face off and both of them no show. And then you're just like,
that's the worst. And we've actually had a few problems with that in IWF, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, we made up jobbers, which is awesome.
Yeah. And in this way, you face a jobber for a week or two. And then if you don't show, you lost to a jobber. It's not, you can actually have the show not be bland.
Exactly.
Because I always hated writing matches where it's like, we're at ringside now, and let's go to Joe Blow with the introductions. Introducing first, Poker Chip or McChip Poker. I just sold my poker chips on the table.
Whatever, man. I appreciate it.
McChipper Poker. Where is he? I don't know. How about let's see if the other guy's here. Sir Yingling is nope, neither. Well, then, Mr. Referee, count them down. And it's like,
that's straight up dumb.
Yeah. And you can't not acknowledge that the match happened.
Right.
And then you have the cop out where it's just like, oh, the GM comes out and says, hey, both these guys weren't in, they didn't show up. So the match isn't happening.
Yeah. No, like that. We obviously didn't want to do something like that. We obviously had to, like, kind of substitute. We actually had this guy, one of my favorite guys, this guy, Keith Axel. He was around as a jobber for us.
Any relation to Curtis?
And it what?
Any
Curtis Axel?
To Curtis?
Yeah, I mean, totally.
Who had the better promo skills?
Yeah, I'd have to say probably Curtis Axel. I mean, this guy, we created him as a jobber to do nothing. I mean, his pick base was, oh, God, who was that guy that was CM Punk's, like, best friend when he did the Straight Edge Society?
Luke Gallows?
Luke Gallows. That was his pick base. Is like a Luke Gallows type of guy. So, like, he just looked like a tool. So if you lost to Keith Axel, it got bad. And later on, we took this guy. His name was Jackie with two Ks, Jackky Dane.
It's a good thing it's not three Ks.
Oh, right. That's racist. Racist.
Ruckus Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, right. But anyways, it took Jackie Dane, and like this guy, he said he was a 12-year-old who lived in India. This guy would post the most ridiculous RPs, and they would be like maybe 100 words, and they would say nothing. And then he'd always end them with, I'm going to send you down Dane's road to hell. It was just the most ridiculously inexplicable thing you will ever read in your entire life. It's hysterical, though.
Did you ever do any research to see if Dane's road to hell was in reference to anything?
No. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, like, it's just the most ridiculous thing of all time. Just absurd. I don't know how it happened or who this guy was. He was there for like 2 weeks and then disappeared. And he was just like this ridiculous person who just kind of showed up and wrote these absurd RPs and then left.
Mm-hmm. I always liked those people though. Yeah, there was a guy in APW. I want to say it was prior to One Night in Hell. Probably around there. So, like, this time last year or so. And he joins, and he has his character in a bar chugging down, I think, martinis, to be quite honest. I'm not honestly using the martinis or, like, cosmopolitans.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be some, like, big burly-looking, like, Drew McIntyre-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he gets in his car and, like, drives. And I'm like, I was sitting there, I was like, why didn't you have him get arrested? That would be great. That would be a great intro promo. Nobody's going to have their guy get arrested.
Right off the bat.
He was like, well, why would he get arrested? I said, I don't know. He just left the bar where he was pounding cosmopolitans. Pretty sure cops, like, I don't know if you've been in the outside world enough, but cops tend to just sit by a bar and watch people get out.
Oh, absolutely. That is exactly, yeah. They just watch you sit there and get blitzed, and they're like, okay, you're going to drive home? I'm going to go ahead and follow you for about 30 exactly. seconds.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. All right.
Yeah. Good. You're going to have to come with me.
As soon as you pull on the road. But, now, the best was, though, because it wasn't that absurd of a promo,
mm-hmm.
but he asked for feedback, and people gave him feedback, and his reaction to the said feedback was absurd. And then he proceeded to, one of his friends who was already in the Fed stole a role play and then was confronted on it. And this cosmopolitan guy goes, what's the big deal? I've let him use a lot of my role plays before.
Yeah, but you're stealing RPs of them. Jesus Christ.
even if you have permission, it's not something. But we're like, wait, what? You guys like give each other promos? Yeah, we do it all the time. And the stealing role playing guy goes, don't mind him. He's been drinking. He had like 3 beers tonight. I was like, wow, these guys don't know anything about alcohol. Or they're extremely light.
Or cops. I mean,
it's like, wow, it all makes sense why he didn't get pulled over for drinking cosmopolitans.
Seriously.
So, yeah, it's just. I was. You need some of those people though. Oh, yeah. We always rag on those people, but
I actually think I just found a Jackie Dade RP for you. If you're interested in reading this, this is by far, like I said, it's literally one like just the most ridiculous. I just pressed type that to you there real quick. It's the most ridiculous shit you will ever read in your entire life. Just absolutely absurd. I mean, this guy is just out of his goddamn mind. It's actually pretty funny because he's just like, yeah, I'm the best. I'm awesome. I'm going to beat Corey Casey even though I debuted 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Like, well, this is the guy.
I mean, and I'm all for giving equal opportunity. You know, I'm all for that. I've actually fought him one-on-one, which is hysterical.
I had I think the one thing was somebody who – like, I just want to see somebody with a new character come in and they get – like the bad draw, like they are in like some tournament and they get the bad draw to face the champion,
mm-hmm.
and then they just sell it. I have no fucking chance.
Yeah, so they just kind of throw in. They throw
in. Yeah, but it, like just actually write the role play. But I have no fucking chance. Like have the character throw in the towel, but you're actually writing.
You gotta respect that. Like, you know, you really do.
Yeah, like everybody has a macho character, and I think the next character I ever come up with is going to be like this self-deprecating, always low self-esteem guy. He's like, I have no chance against this guy. I mean, you know, he's got blonde hair. I don't have blonde hair. He's already better than me. Like I have brownish red hair. I'm not gonna win. Look at him. His nose is straight. Mine was broken. His nose is straight. Like just go. Like,
he looks purdy. Kind of do the Daniel Bryan thing, right?
Yeah. Like just on like a superficial surface reasons why they're better than him. He has a title. It's made up, but it's a title.
I mean, look at it. It's shiny. It's new. I mean,
sound like
yeah, no, just like something great like that. There's actually a guy who I'm actually looking forward to seeing him debut. He should be back within a month or so. This guy, I don't know if you know, London Carter. He was in NLWF for a while. He's been bumming around. He's actually an openly gay character, which is something you don't really see in eFeds. Because everybody's I'm the man. I'm this guy. I'm that guy. I'm just awesome. And there's nowhere I like penis and blah, 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 blah. Like, it's like, dude.
No, I had a...
Back it down.
He was in APW towards the end of my run there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have even left before I left. So, but, I mean...
Yeah. There's a guy where, like...
I've heard of the character, yeah.
You know, you got to respect, you know, respect that kind of, you know, just stretch. It's a new character, you know, it's a new idea. Like, it's kind of cool. You know, I respect it.
So, back to Corey Casey.
Yep.
You guys have your first couple shows, and are you feeling good about yourself?
Like, I'm feeling pretty damn good, actually. We actually ended up, between the three of us, pumping out a whole big, massive show within 24 hours of deadline. And things are going pretty great. You know, we love it. We feel great about this. This is awesome. We're actually getting a few new looks. Like I said, we got this guy, Eric Voss, coming in making these amazing graphics and just kind of really just fucking shit up. Like, we just really just did awesome the first couple shows. So, and eventually that breaks down quite fast.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you come down from that high?
Yeah, absolutely. We came down pretty hard. We tried doing two shows. We split it up into what was known as Cataclysm and Showtime. Mm-hmm. And what happened, that only lasted maybe four shows, if that. What had happened was Chuck went missing. Brandon also went missing. So now it's me basically left holding my dick in my hands like, great, what am I going to do now? So I ended up turning to a guy named Jason Hawk, who, like I said, I've mentioned him a few times now, and Shadow Demon. The problem is that Jason Hawk in real life lives on the Faroe Islands. Which, if you don't know if you know what that is, it's right above Scotland, which is like, you know, what is it, 6-7 hours ahead of me. And Shadow Demon lives in Australia. So now I'm living outside of Boston. I got a guy who lives above Scotland. I got another guy who lives 24 hours in the future. Trying to get together a show writing crew with two admins like that, I mean, it's just not feasible.
But he lived in the future. He should have seen what was going to happen, right?
That's exactly right. You know, as soon as it's actually funny that you mentioned that, because as soon as the like whole Mayan countdown thing happened, he came online and was like, guys, good news. The future is safe. Which was pretty cool. But I mean, eventually it got to the point where I started getting really super stressed out because we were getting more and more new members. We had this insane two-show system, which ended up just, like I said, shit-canning the whole thing after four shows. Mm-hmm. Making it one show again. That was a bitch to try to explain its storyline, by the way. So now we've got me essentially running the show with Jason and Shadow Demon. Unfortunately, Jason is also on the Faroe national soccer team, so now he's gone. So it's me and Shadow Demon, who's 24 hours in the future. I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? So I actually went on Facebook. This is going to sound creepy, but I went on Facebook, found Chuck. I'm like, dude, I don't know where you went. You need to get your ass back here because I can't do this alone. So he actually ended up coming back, which was actually pretty cool. He could have told me to go screw myself, but I mean, the guy was just like, look, yeah, I'll help you out. And I think it's something that both myself, Chuck, and Brandon all have is we don't want to see IWF die. It's essentially our brainchild, you know. This was something that we formed when NLWF closed. This was our escape. Like, this was our baby. And so to, like, know that our baby's in trouble, we're going to have to come running, you know? So Chuck ended up coming back, which was pretty cool. And by this point, I'm burned out. I'm stressed out. My mind is barely working. You know, my girlfriend's getting mad at me because I spend all my time on my computer trying to figure out, you know, trivial bullshit eFed stuff. Mm-hmm. So I ended up taking just kind of, you know, 2-3 months to myself, just like took a break, which was pretty cool, actually.
Everybody needs those.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take a break. Everybody.
And like I said, Nick, when we ran NLWF, when he ran NWF, I didn't have a break in 3 years.
So writing,
writing as a schizophrenic, anger-induced, just raging douchebag, more or less. That's essentially what I was, just this raging psychotic person. If you write like that for 3 years, now I'm writing a whole eFed by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my mind was fraying. I was just not in a good place.
So how far were you into Insurgency before you took the break?
By this point, NLW or IWF was running about, oh God, I want to say 6 months.
Okay. So you take a break and you're, you know, you get back, you're almost a year in.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're running the Fed and everything, are you also competing?
Yep. I was the first ever IWF World Heavyweight Champion. I recaptured the title later on. It was either From the Ashes 1 or From the Ashes 2, which was like the big WrestleMania, you know, pay-per-view. It was so long ago. It was actually From the Ashes 1. I actually won the main event of that, which was pretty cool.
Okay.
So we ended up winning that, and I was the two-time champion, which was pretty cool. So now I'm heavyweight champion. I'm running the Fed, and everybody's starting to get that. You know how everybody gets the whispers? Like, oh, my God, the guy who's in charge is the champion?
I was just about to ask you if you got
those. My God. Oh, yeah. Everyone was like, dude, you're such a jerk. Like, of course you're rigging matches now. Like, this is your big thing. Like, you're clearly just rigging everything in your favor. So eventually I dropped the title, essentially just said enough was enough. You know, I don't like the whispers. I don't like being in the main event. I don't even really want to do this anymore, to be honest with you. You know, and that was just like a realization. It's like the light bulb went on, you know, that like maybe it's time that I kind of took a step back or started to try and take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, like I said, you know, they were gone for a month or two. Actually, no, this was like two to three months that Chuck and Brandon were gone the first time. Mm-hmm. Chuck has a tendency to disappear a lot. He's a college student trying to work everything out. I was in college at the time, and then what had happened was over this last summer. So now IWF is basically 2 years old, 2.5 years old. Brandon and I were on one day, and Chuck just doesn't sign on. And by this point, I had Chuck's phone number. I sent him a few texts. He doesn't really respond. And eventually he just says, I'm done. So now it's like, great. What am I supposed to do? So again, I take up the mantle of bearing IWF on my back and just kind of, this time it was for literally 5 months that I just kind of took it from – it was basically from August, September. This was like basically all – it was last summer. So it was basically all last summer. I ran IWF by myself. And then a little bit into – it tends to happen in the summer because Brandon goes to like this camp. He's an instructor at a camp. And basically what had happened was he goes to this camp and you can't find him ever again until he comes back. So I've done a lot of IWF stuff by myself,
mm-hmm.
which sucks. If anybody's out there is running a Fed by themselves, don't do it. Just don't do it. Like, find someone immediately, because if you're doing this by yourself, it sucks.
I had this discussion with somebody, Rob, who now runs Level 7 Wrestling.
Yep.
We were having a discussion about 3 weeks ago or so. I think it was 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And we were talking about how if you're going to be a Fed head, you got to have a staff.
Yeah,
if you're going to have, I feel like if you need at least one staff person per 12 to 15 members.
Absolutely.
Anything else? Because you're going to have, if you have 12 to 15 people, you have at the most 7 matches.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to judge 7 matches, which means you're probably going to upset 3 or 4 of those people.
And they're going to PM you or get on Yahoo Messenger and tool you, you know, completely yell you out. And
yeah.
Just now you have to sit there and take that and be like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, now what, you know?
Yeah. And I always like look at it like, if I was going to run a Fed, I'm going to be the Fed head. And that's about it. Like, I don't want to do anything else. I just
want to. You don't want to RP. You don't want to, you know, any of that.
Because I'd be too focused on advertising, getting people. Being like affiliates with people and dealing with the bullshit that you have to deal with when you're a Fed head.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot. It sucks.
He said, she said stuff.
Ugh, it's awful.
Why didn't I win? You know, trying to explain that without pissing somebody off. Because apparently, the one thing that I always hated when I was just being a staff member was somebody asking me, because I was the most sensible staff person. Hey, why did I lose? Well, you want the simple answer? Your role play wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I want the complex answer. All right, well, you're not gonna like it then.
Yeah, and the worst thing was is that the way IWF worked for like in terms of matches and like voting and stuff was that you had like anybody who wanted to vote could. I mean, that was our big thing. It's like, you know, for the people, you know, mm-hmm. so everyone could vote on every match or no matches. And the problem got to be that we wouldn't have people voting. Like, nobody would decide to like, oh, I'll send in votes later. Well, we got to get the show out, so you need to get off your ass and do this. And the problem was that nobody really cared, so it got to the point where we had to be like, okay, well, now we have to decide matches, and we don't want to do that. You know, we wanted people to vote, and they just didn't. So now we have to decide matches, and because we're deciding them, whoever wins is going to be happy. Whoever loses is like, oh, you hate me, yeah. Or you hate my RP. Like,
and see, that's the kind of thing. Like, that system I've always wanted to work, but I've always known that it's not going to, because you'll have people who will just vote for their friends, even if their friend sucks.
Yeah.
And have the better role play, or you'll have nobody role play. The staff has to decide. And then when somebody's upset, like, look, your fellow members could have voted. Nobody did. So don't be mad at us.
Exactly. Like, you know, I wish that system had worked so bad. It didn't, though. And it really, really sucked. Eventually, to put a deadline on votes, and it was just this whole big to do.
Yeah, it also slows down the process of
writing the show and get it. I mean, like, that was another big thing that was holding us back, that when we'd write shows, we couldn't exactly write them without votes. So now we're like threatening people, hey, you know, you need to get your show there. And like I said, I got anger issues as it is. So like when people aren't like voting, I'm like, great, you got to send the votes in. They're like, oh, get around to it. Well, 2 days later, but he's like, where's the show?
Yeah. That's the other thing you need. Like, you need a balance of being a Fedhead, because you have to have some sort of, like, initiative to be like, look, I need it here, otherwise I'm making the call, and I'm going to throw you guys all under the bus. If somebody doesn't like it, look, I was waiting for the staff to vote, but they just wanted to sit on their thumbs. I made the choice, and you have them to blame.
This is what it is, right? And like the thing with IWF, it was great because when the three of us were in charge, we had the original rule of three: me, Chuck Matthews, and Brandon McDonald. I was the like rage, like that was essentially the headsman. They sent me to ban people. They sent me to just rip people a new asshole to breathe out of. I mean, just destroy people. They'd send me. If you had a problem, you needed to talk to Chuck, because Chuck was the level-headed. He was essentially the judge. I mean, this was the guy who you sent. You know, you sent him to go take care of things, like political things like that, because I couldn't be trusted because I just yell and scream. Chuck was the guy you sent to be political about it. Brandon was kind of the guy who – Brandon and I, as good of friends as we are, we're also completely different in, like, pretty much any way. You know, like, I'll like something, Brandon will hate it. And it was good because we kind of connect on a few things. But, like, Brandon and I, in terms of, like, decision-making and stuff like that, I'm ready to make decisions and start the heads rolling. Brandon's like, well, maybe we should go ahead and wait on this. And then we'd use Chuck as our tiebreaker, which was great. Like, that rule of three, I got to say, that was probably the best thing IWF had going for it, was the three of us together would make the important decisions, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, the issues came later on when Chuck left. So now it's Brandon and I trying to run things, and the two of us can barely agree on anything. You know, the whole system started to kind of fall apart towards that point.
So we're up to, I want to say, around this time last year.
Yep.
Starting to go to the fall of last year, you're running the Fed by yourself.
Yep.
Brandon comes back from the camp.
Yeah.
I'm guessing sometime around here.
He does. Now, and this is when I take my break. You know, I go on my hiatus. I say, Brandon, you know, you and Chuck can do this. I'm done for a few months because I coach soccer. You know, I was starting a new job. You know, I couldn't do all of this anymore. So like I kind of took like a 3 month break, and by break I mean like I was still in the chat box every single day, still talking to people. I just wasn't in the decision making process anymore, which was kind of nice, you know, being able to kind of almost step back but still keep an eye on things. But you know, eventually I kind of watched IWF slowly shit the bed because Chuck was essentially, he was ruling, but like him and Brandon were making decisions, but like Chuck kept a lot of stuff to himself. Mm-hmm. Didn't like share information with anybody, and his matches kind of weren't, I mean, he'll be the first to tell you he sucks at writing matches. You know, he'll be the first one to tell you, but like the matches were suffering. The quality was suffering. Essentially I texted Chuck. I'm like, dude, what's up? Like IWF's dying. What are you doing? He's like, I don't know if I can do this, man. Like I'm kind of done. Like, I don't know. I'm burned out. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm like, you're burned out. Excuse me. I carried IWF for like 4 or 5 months, dude, and you're burned out. I don't want to fucking hear it. You know, so like Chuck and I have this big fight. He quits IWF. I come back early from my break. Brandon and I are now running IWF, and both of us were at a point in our lives where we're like, okay, enough is enough. Like we're done. I mean, we're both burned out. We're tired. We don't really want to do this anymore, which is when, I mean, it was during that like time we're getting burned out where we actually ran into UECW. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
UECW?
Essentially, it was run, I forget who the guy's name was, but they had like Alexander Remington and Griffin Hawkins and, you know, this guy named Stig. I just call him Stig because I can't for the life of me pronounce his name. Essentially, he goes by now. It's Jason Gabriel. We go there. I start talking to Alexander Remington kind of about he was their champion. I'm just kind of going back and forth with them. The two of us kind of start talking out of character. Then we're like, hey, you know, UECW is closing. Maybe this is time you guys jump ship. And so I actually PM the owner of UECW. I'm like, hey, look, I've been talking with a few of your members. Here, you're having some trouble. Maybe this is a time where you join up with us. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, why not? So we ended up absorbing UECW, which was awesome. And with that came a whole brand new bunch of characters, which really just kind of helped relieve some of that stress and got me back to where I needed to be. You know, Alexander Remington and Corey Casey were friends. Stig was just this guy that was unstoppable. He was essentially their Goldberg. I mean, the guy came in, it was just a house of fire, which was awesome. Griffin Hawkins helped write shows. JC Sovereign has really helped out. But the real cream of that crop, and the guy who's running IWF to this day, came in that ship. But then he went by the name of, God, it was Axel Vengeance. Right now he goes by the name Alex Dillinger, though. And he's the guy who's running IWF now, which was awesome. You know, and he was the guy that came over when we absorbed UECW. And this was the guy that I knew I could trust, and Brandon knew we could trust. So, I mean, a few months after that, Brandon and I were like, look, here's what we need from you. We're going to give you the keys to the car. You know, essentially that's what it was. We gave him the keys and said, look, we don't want to do this anymore. We're burned out. We've been writing nonstop. We want out. And Alex was like, all right, I'll step up. So we have him and Jason Gabriel now, our admins on IWF, along with my good friend Gordon Fury. He and I have a love-hate relationship. Good old Gordon Fury. But, yeah, no, I mean, IWF could not be stronger right now, which is awesome. And I could not be happier with the way things are going. And I actually got my own – I finally got something that I thought I'd never get. I got my own Hall of Fame show, which is pretty cool.
I was about to say, you were inducted in June.
Yep.
That was for – was that before – because I know you guys had the From the Ashes 3 –
That was recently. Yep, that was before. That was the show before.
Okay.
Ended up pulling a major heel move right then just because I mean, I swore to myself when I was done writing shows and done being an admin, which was in like May. I mean, Alex pretty much had like a month or so to get it all together. I told myself right then and there, I'm done. Like Corey Casey's done. By this point, he had married actually, ironically enough, Chuck Matthews' sister. She had twins at that point, which is the RPs I sent you, or the Casey Chronicles. I wrote those after Chuck and I were talking out of character. Both of us had played Bioshock, like the video game Bioshock.
The new one?
Yep.
Infinite?
Not Infinite. This was the original one, the original Bioshock 1. And this was like both of us had played it and beaten it. And we're like, you know, it'd be great using like the splicers and like the boosters you get, like the elemental boosters. I don't know if you got a chance to look at those. I use like the wasp one and like the hornet one, and like the hornet one and like the fire one and the ice one. Oh, it was awesome. I had a blast writing those. I combined that with I just seen Terminator Salvation with Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. I just seen that movie as well. So like I combined like Bioshock World with like Terminator World. It was actually pretty cool. I thought it was awesome. But by that point, Alex runs IWF now. You know, I had my Hall of Fame show, which I thought was awesome. Alex did a great, great job writing that show. And, yeah, now I'm just kind of happily retired.
So how is the retired life?
It's awesome, actually. It's great after being on the go for so long, you know, just pumping out these insanely worded RPs, being angry all the time, being schizophrenic, you know, in character, having to deal with all this bullshit and chasing the title. Like, as great as it was, I'm over it. I mean, I really am. I love it. I still love all the people that I've met. I'm still on the IWF chat box all the time. But, I mean, just not having to worry about RPing two RPs a week, every single week, dealing with real life, having a girlfriend, you know, moving, doing all this stuff. It's great to have free time and actually play video games, which is great.
Living the life.
That's right. Absolutely.
Do you ever get the urge?
Oh, you have no idea. I'll be driving along. I, you know, like I said, I live in Massachusetts. I work at the next state over, and I'll be driving up to work, and I have a lot of alone time to like think about stuff. And so like, I'll be driving, and all of a sudden I'll get like a great idea for an RP after like listening to a song. I'll be like, oh, this would be a great thing for bring Corey Casey back. I'll do this and that, and I'll text my idea to Chuck, and Chuck will be like, dude, really? You're still thinking of ideas? You're retired. Just turn it off, man. Just turn it off. But, I mean, you know, yeah, I still get the urge every now and then, but I honestly don't think I'll ever act on it. You know, my last RP and my greatest match, I think, to date was against Stig. It was at the Ragnarok RP – or not RP, pay-per-view, sorry. And it was a Hell Zone match. I mean, Stig wrote the shit out of that match. It's probably one of the best things I think I've ever read, which, like I said, I'm a veteran of 5.5, 6 years of this game. For me to say that that's the best match I've ever read – That means something. That carries a lot. And not just because I'm in it. but, yeah, no. I mean, I had fun with it. Well, I did. I met a lot of great people. James Shark is another great guy that I'm sure – I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but James Shark's another great guy that I met. You know, when we started IWF, it was essentially we wanted it to be like ECW. You know, no censors, no rules, just be crazy. At least that's what I was visioning. And James Shark, kind of – as controversial as he is – you know, the guy is one of my friends, but at the same time, the guy shoots off at his mouth and says a lot of stupid shit just all the time. But I mean, like, that was my idea for IWF. And, you know, he was a guy that played a very big role in the beginning. So, I mean, he was another guy that was big. But, I mean, going back to the question, yeah, I'm enjoying the retired life.
Okay. So, since there's no more to the Corey Casey story.
Mm-hmm.
That means that your journal entry, the one that you've bugged so much about, is coming to an end. Which means, I gotta ask you, you know, what are your favorite moments as Corey Casey?
A lot of them are, you know, like I said, I wish NLWF was still around, because I, you know, encourage everybody to go there and like at least read old RPs of mine and kind of read old shows. Like I said, one of my greatest moments was beating the crap out of Nick and not having him land a single offensive blow. That match actually ends, spoiler alert, with me almost running him over with a monster truck, which was pretty damn cool and satisfying, if I do say so myself. Winning the first ever Undisputed, you know, winning my Undisputed title was pretty cool. My feud with Shadow Demon is legendary for me. We actually carried it over into IWF. One of my big claims to fame is I'm undefeated in a match known as the Double Cage Horror, which is essentially, it's a steel cage around the inside of the ring, then Hell in a Cell outside. I'm 12-0-1 with a no decision in that match, which is pretty cool considering that Nick hated me. So for me to go undefeated in that match, expanding into IWF and being also undefeated in that match, was, it's just one of my prouder moments, you know, being undefeated, and then my match against Sting.
All right. Least favorite moments.
Dealing with the politics and the bullshit. Dealing with people first as a member of a Fed, dealing with Nick and his ego trips, dealing with, you know, all the bullshit that comes with trying to break into a Fed and dealing with everybody like, oh, I'm high and mighty, I'm on higher up the card than you. And then as a Fed head, dealing with people who are just like, oh, when's the show going to be ready? How about the show? Where's the show? Come on, where's the show? Why don't you vote? And then I can write the show. How about that? Mm-hmm. You know, so like dealing with that kind of stuff kind of sucks. But I mean, other than that, it's been a pretty enjoyable experience. It's been kind of almost therapeutic, which is pretty cool.
Now, when you were writing.
Yep.
We already touched on a little bit with your post-retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But where did inspiration come from for you?
A lot of it is music, video games. A lot of it's also just kind of old RPs that I've written. I bounce a lot of ideas off Chuck Matthews, a lot of ideas off Brandon McDonald. They both play big roles in kind of my RPs, like my storyline ideas. I also talk to a lot of people in the Fed. You know, the best way to get storyline ideas, you know, for every Fed head that's listening out there, talk to your members. They know exactly what they want. They know their character better than you do because it's essentially them. You know, it's a part of them. It's a part of who they are. That's how I wrote Corey Casey. He was my anger, my rage, my, like, just pent-up aggression that I couldn't take out. So that's kind of how I wanted him written. So, I mean, a lot of the inspiration came from just random places. You know, just my members, you know, music, things like that.
Okay.
Real life played a factor, too, which was pretty cool.
So, was there anybody that you molded your writing after?
It was a mix. I molded a lot of Knife to Know You stuff after a guy named Cotton the Clown, Big shout outs to him. I love Cotton the Clown. He was fantastic. He used a Spawn pick bass, which is pretty cool. I've loaded a lot of my stuff after, as much as I hate to admit it, because I actually really hate the guy. I molded a lot of my stuff after Nick. Chuck Matthews played a role in a lot of like how I modeled my RPs. My really big shoot, the way I wrote shoots though, was a combination of Brenton Cyrus and James Shark, because nobody talks better shit than James Shark when it comes to shoots.
So. All right. Well then, now it's the time where you give out your shout outs. Whoever you've given a lot out to, throughout the portion of this, but
yeah. Just kind of shout outs to basically everybody in IWF. Alex Dillinger, I hope I did you guys well. Stig is another personal friend of mine. Chuck Matthews, Brandon McDonald, Jason Hawk, James Shark, Tim Patrick, as much as he hates me probably right now. Gordon Fury, a lot of those guys. JC Sovereign, and Aries, you'd really like this guy. Aries Armadeus. This is a guy who doesn't take himself too seriously and likes to claim that he is the banana champion. I'm not exactly, you heard me, banana champion. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Did he beat Donkey Kong?
He must have, because he's like, you know what, that'd be the best if we had a banana championship. It'd be like a potassium on a pole match. Just like all these like ridiculous things. Every time he logs in, I'm always like, banana champion in the house. And just like, oh, it's fantastic. Just so.
We need to have a B-Cage banana championship match.
Yes.
In a B-Cage. That would be.
Aries Armadeus, if he's listening, man, I'm telling you, we got to get him out here. Defend the banana title.
him and Leon Corbin in a B-Cage.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine the honey and the potassium involved?
Oh, my God. So many good puns. Because that's like the best part. I used to love writing matches where the guys were like not too serious. There's this guy, Johnny Electric. All he would do was just make energy puns. His finisher was this thing called a power surge. It was a super kick. So it was to be like, oh, Johnny Electric hits the power surge, lights out for everybody. It was just like really corny electric puns.
There's a lot of adrenaline surging through his body.
Oh yeah, just I mean it was rolling blackouts for days. Literally, he did like a series of German suplex. You'd be like, oh, rolling blackouts all over the Northwest. It was awesome. Just a really, I love characters like that. But you just joke around. Mm-hmm. So
anybody else you want to give your shout outs?
Parker Wade, Flex Johnson, obviously. Thank you so much for getting me into this. Gordon Fury, you know, my little Aussie friend. And, just everybody in IWF. Just thank you guys so much for being there for me. And just I hope everything keeps going on. That's pretty much it. Thank you for having me on the show. I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you for finally, getting me on. I really appreciate being on the show.
We worked something out.
This is an awesome thing you do. You know, it just gives us all a chance to get to know our characters and kind of look back at our careers and kind of, plug our feds, which is awesome.
Yeah. I do a little bit of everything. I'm like I'm Walter Cronkite mixed with a little Seacrest.
I mean, I'm not going to say that should be your next pick base, but it totally should be your next pick base.
Walter Cronkite mixed with a little Seacrest?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the cash money right now?
I'll get my peoples on it.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. Hopefully your fantasy teams go a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't know. How are you looking right now?
Not good. Kenneth Matthews is kicking the shit out of me. Tom Brady did not have a real great day. He's barely 500. So my poor Patriots.
Sorry, I'm going 3-1 in my leagues.
Oh, you lucky bastard. I play fantasy hockey, so I mean that's kind of my game, better than football. You want Brandon McDonald for fantasy football?
No, I'm terrible at fantasy hockey. I did it and I completely forgot about it. And I missed on. I forgot about it and I was like, oh wait, I'm in a fantasy league, aren't I? I'm gonna go look at it. I missed out on the playoffs by one game and was upset. I was like, fuck, I missed out on the playoffs. And then I just go, wait, I didn't pay attention to anything, and I missed out on the playoffs by one game.
Oh, my God, I'm losing right now, 46.2 to 104.8. I am getting slaughtered. Jesus Christ.
I had AP, AJ Green, and Reggie Wayne.
Ugh.
All on the same team. Oh, and then Jordan Cameron was on my bench. I got Jimmy Graham. I got a stack squad.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it's my big money league, so I can't wait.
Oh, right. Seriously.
I just want to fast forward to December when I win the league.
Yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew had an absolute shit day, so there's another big one in my bag.
Well, hopefully your Patriots play it better and they don't shit themselves against the Bills. At least it wasn't the Jets.
Close. Yeah, thank God. If we lost to the captain of the butt fumble, I don't know what I'd do. Seriously.
And hopefully your fantasy team does a lot better.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks for having me on the show.
It wasn't pretty, but his team almost did shit themselves against the Jets. Corey, thank you for being on, and you got your wish. So now, I don't know if you're going to keep bugging me to get back on, but it's okay. I know you support me. So before we get into the end of the show, which might even have some music behind it now, Corey wanted to say one last thing before this episode was over. So Corey, take it away.
So this is Corey Casey on behalf of Insurgency Wrestling Federation. It's insurgencywrestling.com. Our Fed head, Alex Dillinger, is a great guy. Stand-up site. Just redid the whole thing. Got a brand new webpage. Actually bought the webpage domain name, which is pretty cool. I think it's a money to this. The chat box is awesome. We've got the best graphics around, best storylines going. If you log on, it's just an amazing site for you to check out. Basically, you know, we're a 2RP Fed in character with, you know, basically original characters. Yeah, we use Twitter a lot. You can find us at Insurgency Wrestling. So I would definitely recommend giving us a check, you know, checking us out. There's a lot of room for, there's no politics, no bullshit. You know, it's just a great place to RP. It's great people. The chat box offers you a out of character experience where you get to actually know the people of Insurgency Wrestling Federation, as opposed to just the characters. You get to know the people behind them, which is just kind of our big claim to fame. So I strongly recommend that you check it out.
Check out insurgencywrestling.com. Not only is Corey from there, Gordon Fury, former EFJ, I think EFJ 14 guest. He still resides there. He's the world champion, I believe. So I'm happy to hear that. Congratulations, Gordo, because I never told it to you. So yeah, I think that's it for this episode. Next week starts a 3-part series with my guest, because we sat down for over 6 hours, maybe even 7. I'm not entirely sure. But it was a long time. There was a lot of information. I felt that a 3-part series is what it needs, it deserves, and it's not Terry Marvin. But the reasoning why really is because I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to be able to record over the next 3 weeks. So rather than put them all in 1 week, this way I'm set. I'm not stressing out if I don't have somebody. I don't want to leave it like I did 2 weeks ago where my computer dies. So they are all done. It's all done, but I'm going to release it 3 parts. So yeah, 3-part series starts next week with my guest, who will be blank because I'm not going to tell you who it is right now. You got to find out next week. And before Corey gave his pitch, I said, promise music, didn't I? I should probably get on that, shouldn't I? Oh yeah, there we go. I want to credit Poncho, for finding that for me. So he's pitching about getting music producer credit, whatever. The song is Krund, a funky beat by Krund. He found it for me, so that's what it is, if you were wondering. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the EFED Journal. Hashtag EFJ23 when you're talking about it. Retweet like hell. I appreciate it. Speaking of Twitter, at the EFED Journal, that's where you can find all my tweets. If you want to advertise, be a sponsoring Fed or website for a future episode of the EFED Journal, email me, efedjournal@gmail.com. Subject, ad or ad time or sponsor, something along with that lines. Give me your Fed, your site pitch, your advertisement you want me to read. You'll hear it here. Websites, efedjournal.blogspot.com and efedjournal.webs.com. That's all. I'm TJ. I appreciate you guys listening for Peter and for my computer, which is still alive and not breaking things inside of itself. I appreciate you and I thank you for listening. Now, listen to the funky beat before I fade it out and I play a sneak peek of next week's episode. Again, I'm TJ. Thank you. Later. Is Jesse and Johnny Styles related?
Yes, they're cousins.
Oh, okay, all right.
No, they're cousins in character.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was going with.
Yeah, but there's a very key difference. There's a very key difference, which actually shows how old school Johnny Styles is.
One of them names Jesse, the other one's Johnny, but they probably spell Johnny without an H.
No.
They spell Jesse with a Y?
No.
With an I.
Oh, no.
Three S's.
Johnny spells Styles with a Z.
God damn it! Gotta love the 90s. Everything.